Hi, welcome. This is Laurel, and you're at the Laurel Langmire Show. Thanks for joining us today. It's been great to be with you. And guess what? We are at the end of Q2. That means we are at the end, halfway point, actually end of Q2 and halfway point of 2010. We started at the beginning of the year, and the theme has been turnaround to 2010. As we end this quarter, I'm curious, how has your results been in your business? We call them a cash machine over here. And we're seeing a lot of change in the market. The market is recovering in some sectors, not even moving in others. The real estate market's still extremely up and down in different categories, depending on where you stand in that conversation. The opportunities are extraordinary. The opportunities to buy, there's great rental markets, there's great cash flow properties, there are great deals everywhere. The banks are offloading properties as fast as they can. So the question is, what have you been doing in the last two quarters to get set if 2010 is going to be your turnaround year? So some of the halftime pep talk we've heard out of Wall Street, you know, as we are in the midpoint of 2010, the economy and commercial real estate markets are trudging ahead. The prediction is, you know, that we're rapidly, you know, surging ahead. I don't know. I think the stock market is creating that indicator, that the stock market's staying high. Most people think that we're going to quickly recover because of its height and staying over 10,000. I'm not sure. The second quarter, Europe was killed. The UK has hit all-time bottom. U.S. hit some speed bumps and Wall Street fizz, but boy, according to what's going on with the Euro, UK, Greece, the volcanoes all over the, you know, northern parts of Europe, huge, huge business problem. And then it doesn't feel like a recovery when you have the amount of foreclosures that are still going on, and the commercial markets haven't even begun to start toppling on that category. So in some cases, it feels like it's an enormous recovery. In others, it feels like it's no recovery. But in 2002, 2003, you know, and in 1992 and 1993, even though those were, you know, recessionary times, the difference in that time versus this time is there was plenty of capital available. So what's going to be very, you know, curious really is, will the capital come to the marketplace when the capital market, the commercial real estate market starts moving in a downward spiral? So there's capital on the sidelines. We all know about it. Getting your hands on it, because it is very selective, it's very discretionary, and it gets to be right now, because it gets to be. It gets to decide whose business plan, whose real estate plan is going to go forward. So even though the economy isn't zooming ahead as rapidly as we all like, the commercial real estate markets are attracting more investors than we thought a year ago. And I think what they're doing is they're going to swarm and get ready. So again, you're still going to see a lot of opportunity in the residential spaces, still buying back from the banks. The foreclosures probably won't slow down and end towards the end of this year. And then as we move into 2011 is when the foreclosure market is supposed to slow down the residential side. Commercial will be at an all-time high. We'll see what's going to happen on the credit markets if they get reconstituted. But I can tell you the capital is there. I know in the early 1990s, we saw an enormous amount of capital surge into those markets sectors. Don't know if we're going to see it this time. So the real question for you is, what are you doing to be ready to either capitalize, and if you're in some position of threat, what are you doing to minimize that position of threat? There's a lot of potential for you to take on equity partners if that's something you so choose. Other areas, we're seeing retail completely come up. People do not stop shopping. And according to Forbes magazine, you know, market researchers, consultants, and others have been consistently watching what's going in our market as we're watching this turn, and retail is up. I don't know about you, but if you go out to any of the malls, any of the restaurants, any of, you know, from here we live up in Lake Tahoe, from boat rentals, jet ski rentals, no one's seeing a slowdown in retail sales. And the reason part of that is happening is because I think people are just sick and tired of this recession depression, and they're finally going to release some of the money that they did have tucked away, trusting that there is some recovery coming. We are starting to see the employment numbers you know, creep back up, contrary to my desire for you to stay an entrepreneur and not go back and get a job. Wall Street's hiring thousands and thousands back in this time. But marketing is a reason also why people will not stop shopping and are going to continue to buy no matter what the times are. First of all, we are conditioned as a society to use our credit cards. In fact, I always say, if you have a lot of credit card debt, don't fear. To me, when I look at a lot of people with credit card debt, what that really means is you wanted a big life, you just didn't know how to pay for it. So when you tune in and watch our show and then you move over to our coaching program, this happens every Tuesday where I'm coaching you live, we're finding there that a lot of the folks, as they learn to make money this time around, they won't be using a credit card. They're going to learn to make the money that they want to have the life they want. But for many of you that are in credit card debt, no fear. You just got to learn to make the money to pay for the life you want this time around and put that credit card down or pay it off every month. A couple great marketing things that have not stopped is make the product the hero. Market shoppers don't buy brands, they buy products. Many of them, the brands have become enormous competition. I think that in that brand conversation, people still buy quality over just an item. But I'll tell you, making the product the hero has consistently kept retail shopping happening. Let them interact. People and shoppers want to touch, smell, feel the merchandise. Now, this is going to be an interesting one as we continue to go online. And I have a lot of retail customers that are my students that are learning how to do a lot of this. They've taken their businesses online in fear of this offline recession, depression, because the online businesses have not had a recession, depression. And what's happened is they've had less and less merchandise in their store. I think that's hurting them. And here we're going to, again, so we're going to see the retail brands that stay high, the retail products that stay high, allow interaction. So let's see, give them a factory tour. I think this is always a good one. You know, we're building a tequila distillery down in Mexico, and I can tell you we're going to be giving them a tour, and hopefully they'll buy a whole bunch of tequila in the process. But people want to know, and we just sold a recycled green manufacturing plant in Northern California. Myself and a whole team of us just sold it to a Canadian-based company. And I can tell you, being able to walk through a green recycled plant was an enormous part of that purchase. Take fresh to the next level. Don't just say your stuff is fresh, but prove it. Keep things sharp. Make a show of yourself. So again, you want public viewing, you want access. You say, well, how do I get that? You've got to partner with retail stores. If you have something that people want, they're always going to make a deal at the store level. And I know, having made lots of deals with bookstores, you pay the right price, you're going to get some good showing. Adapt to market conditions. And I'm going to end on this one because I think there's a lot of you, because you have not adapted to market conditions, you're not making the money you used to make. And you can blame the economy all you want, but at some point, what are you going to do to change what you're doing in your business? What I am finding in the most market conditions and marketing specifically that keep people shopping is you've got to become more collaborative. Right, so write these down. You're going to become more collaborative, more adaptive, which means you're going to move fast, and more flexible in your ability to create what does the customer want. You've also got to handle payment plans, and all marketers know that. So the way that you're doing your specials, the way that you're giving your deals, it's critical you offer some payment plans and then offer urgent specials as you do it. So again, I think in the retail spaces, the real estate spaces, the market, the trading of the market, the commodities, offline businesses, they're coming back slowly. The question is, are you on the let's drive the market economy, or are you in the investor side of this conversation? So as we continue in the Laurel Langmire Show, we're going to keep having these conversations about the economics, the recovery, and how is it affecting you? What can you do about it? I have a guest today, as always, and all my guests are entrepreneurs. They're fabulous people who help you become a better entrepreneur. And for some of you that are really aggressive investors, you're going to need some of the help that my guest today, Todd Lay, is going to give you. He has a company called The Simple Back Office, and Todd has been an entrepreneur since he was 19. Previous life, he operated a talent agency that spread over three states. Some of his talent was actors such as Robin Williams, Pulte Homes, Anheuser-Busch, look at you, the Pride Industries, just to name a few. Frustrated with the administrative tasks that bogged him down all the time, he decided to create a virtual services company that helped others that are facing the same challenge. And I can tell you, with the thousands and thousands of clients that we have, getting their back office supported, getting their life supported is critical. So Todd, welcome to the Laurel Langmire Show.
Great. Thanks, Laurel. Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about your Simple Back Office. I love the concept. I love the idea. It's critical to create leverage in your business. So tell all of our listeners here at the Laurel Langmire Show a little bit about what you do and why you do it.
Okay, sure. So basically what I ended up putting together is that I had a talent agency, as you had mentioned a little bit earlier, for about 10 years, and I was horrible at the bookkeeping side of it, always never having things current, issues with having the phones always answered, inbound calls. And the other part was the back and forth with managing a lot of the entertainers. And a lot of this all actually transpired in the day where we were dealing mostly with faxing and going back and forth by phone.
Fine,
and what I really created was, it was an administrative nightmare.
Yep.
And so taking that, what I learned after 10 years, I went ahead and thought, you know what, I'd really created a great model, and I've learned through doing this the hard way that what we've really created could be a solution for other small business owners.
Absolutely.
And created a support company to do that.
And so tell us some ways that your business helps other businesses leverage. Like if I hear you have accounting, do you have web technology, do you have just administrative kind of tasks, or what's the scope of what you're offering?
Yeah, so there's really three legs. Our model is that we provide a weekly bookkeeping service to our clients and then produce, as far as the financial statements for them, at the end of the week or even every month.
That's great.
And that would be their profit loss or balance sheet. So that's been huge for a lot of folks. So they're focusing on the revenue-producing tasks in their business and making decisions based off of reports and not getting caught up into doing all the entries themselves.
That's great. What's the other leg?
The other leg would be answering the phones for businesses. So
good.
That for a lot of people, a lot of entrepreneurs, their calls tend to go directly to voicemail, and they're losing a lot of opportunity that way, to where if they actually had a live receptionist, they could actually have all their calls always being answered by a live person.
Okay, and the third leg?
The third one is admin support. And the niche that we actually fill is right in that sweet spot, about 5 to 10 hours a week. And instead of going through having to hire somebody off of Craigslist or going through some other unknown source, we actually take what we have as a full-time person on our staff, and then we provide them as a shared resource to where they can count on them. Maybe it's only 15 minutes on Monday, 2 hours on Thursday, and then maybe a half hour on Friday. We can actually fill that gap because we're actually there full 40 hours, and they can actually draw on that as a resource.
I love that. So basically, when you work with someone, because a lot of our listeners, I think you know here at the Laura Langmire Show, are entrepreneurs or beginning entrepreneurs, and they need this kind of support.
Yep.
So talk about the time wasters, because you know my work really well, and the time wasters that, you know, I always say it starts in your home, but, you know, they very quickly, that behavior leaks into your business. So what do you see?
Yeah, so a lot of the time wasters, I came across, there's about six ways that I've kind of seen things end up coming up. And one is the unexpected interruptions. And maybe I could even share with you some solutions along the way. I don't know if that'd be a good fit for now or not.
Right. Yep.
Okay, so unexpected interruptions. I love what Dan Kennedy talks about as far as the purple dragon with the red flashing light. He literally takes a large stuffed animal, puts it in front of his doorway in his office. So staff actually sees the purple dragon out, they know not to actually step into his door and interrupt him. And maybe that might be an idea for somebody, is just make it rather obvious not to interrupt you.
Well, and what would you say for the people who work at home who don't have people interrupting them that way, but they have people interrupting on phone, Skype, email, just constant bombardment on social media? What I see with a lot of our students, the reason they're not getting results is they're doing exactly, which is what your number one time waster was, is they're reacting to everyone else's request for their time versus driving their time. So any more tips for how they can really take hold of their time?
Exactly. So a couple of them I would suggest is, as far as take control of, drive, be in control of it, not reactive to it. So what that means is in Outlook and also in Google, you can work in offline mode. So I suggest actually setting up batches of time, whether in the morning or afternoon, of when you actually check and respond to messages. Instant Messenger, whether it be Skype, Yahoo, Gmail, there's a ton of them out there. I'd suggest is the way to best use that is if you have something real quickly that you need to get an answer to, 1 minute or less, is I would use Instant Messenger. Anything other than that, if you need more, I would suggest just make a scheduled phone call. Same thing with voicemail. I'd recommend actually checking your select times today instead of just always hammering into it. Checking messages, you know, 20 times a day. And probably the best one out of all of these is how many times you find yourself running errands throughout the week and or even on the weekends, and you're not spending time doing the things you want to be doing. And I'd highly recommend getting somebody to run errands for you.
I would agree. Now,
yeah,
Todd, I'm gonna move on to another topic here, which is a part of this whole conversation, which is how do you teach people how to really, you asked me the question to build a team. I'm going to say, how do you teach people how to use a team? Because I would think some of the beginning challenges you have working with a lot of the beginners is that they don't actually know how to use you, much less build the team of their own, that eventually when they have enough work for a 40-hour, you know, an administrative assistant where they can take that part of your leg off of what they're having you do. What I find is most people, I'm out here day in, day and right every day telling people you have got to use a team, and they still don't do it. So what are some ideas you have on teaching people how to do it?
Well, one of the keys is actually knowing what, then how. And it's really difficult to go ahead and fix the team if you don't know specifically what it is you're wanting to hand off to the team. And so it actually, you need to figure that out a little bit on your own. And the best way I've kind of identified that is maybe do a time study or a time audit on what it is you're doing throughout the day. And Michael Gerber talked about that really well in his on his E-Myth book. So once you do a time study, what you can actually do is start looking through that list of journaled activities maybe you wrote down and finding those activities, the 20% of the activities that generate 80% of the results or revenue that you're wanting in your business. The other 80% of the activities that are bringing to your bottom line or moving you forward in your business, those could be the activities that you could start searching for the skill sets, and that's key, the skill set for the right individuals to start helping you on your team.
And what do you think is holding people back from that ultimate delegation? Do you think, what are some things? I see that people don't think anybody can do it better than them. What are some things that you see?
You know, that's been a great one, is nobody can do it better than me, or the other common one is it only takes a second, so I can do it myself, or by the time I tell them, I could have done it myself. I mean, I've heard all of these and then some, but I think one is that, and actually I talk about this in a report that I put together recently, and it's titled The 5 Fatal Mistakes People Make When They Don't Delegate.
Oh, I like that. So let's talk about those really quick. What are the 5 fatal mistakes?
Yeah, so the 5 fatal mistakes are basically taking your own phone calls, and I recommend employing a call center or receptionist or somebody on your team to go ahead and screen those, because that is a huge time stealer. As far as those. The second one is doing everyday activities that don't make you money.
Okay.
That's huge. The third one is basically delegating out of your head. That's what I mean by that, is actually doing things on the fly, not really thinking through it, just dumping stuff on people, not having clear expectations or instructions and how to deliver them. That's a big mistake I talk about in the CD at length, or actually in the report. And then the fourth one is spending too much time on social media. I find a lot of people may engage with social media, and that's a mistake. A lot of times is they really don't understand as far as the strategy behind it. And you could actually hand that off to somebody that is actually what their core services or their core strength is, and you can get huge leverage from doing that. But that's another mistake people don't make by not delegating. And then the last one is actually trying to do your own bookkeeping.
Oh, yeah. That's
a big one.
I found
it just a huge one, yeah.
Well, and don't you find that a lot of people, once they also not only engage in social media, but when they actually get dangerously good at their own e-marketing and their websites, that just consumes them? I mean, so much so that I've taken a lot of my students who become really good at it and actually had that become their cash machine, because they actually do more in that category than they were doing in the category that they originally decided. So, I mean, I just said, skip it. I mean, I just recently did that with one of my students who was doing a whole cooking program, a nutrition program. And every time I called or we talked, I said, what are you doing? What are you wasting your time on? It was his website. I said, then do it for other people. And so now he's shifted and actually making money. So I think those all those areas, I think, are huge, huge challenges. Let's talk about leveraging technology, because I think that's another area where either people do nothing or they completely, like, really will spend all day on the line with helplines trying to get things up and running. So, I mean, what is the basic systems that people need? How can you help them? And, yeah, okay. Just talk a little bit about that whole area, too.
Okay, so some of the basic things you need to go ahead and have in a place, especially if you're going to be working with remote teams. Remote teams are, I commonly refer to as people in the cloud. You've heard a lot of talk in the media over the last 6 to 8 months talking about cloud computing, and it's things that basically are virtual folks you can't see. So in order to be able to work with virtual assistants, remote things like that, it's critical to set up actually the pieces of technology to enable other people or empower them to be able to get access to the work. And so I think one is, if you're going to be doing this through email, is setting up, you could do this through Gmail, setting up calendar sharing programs. You can do this through Outlook using Microsoft Exchange. Very inexpensive, setting up Outlook, hosted Outlook, maybe $10, $12 a month per account to be able to do that. And you could use all the same familiar tools that you're used to with that. Skype, you need an instant messenger tool. Skype works great. Also, there's Google has done a big step in this too, using Gtalk.
Yep.
Love how that integrates with everything and the ability to pass files. And it's also unlimited archiving of all your conversations, just in the same way you can search for those through Google. You can do the same thing for keywords through your conversations on Gtalk. Another tool I would actually look at using a lot is that you could use where you take voice to text, and I just want to take a second to explain that. That is, how many times have you dialed into your voicemail and it's like 11 unplayed messages, and you're going, I don't know which one is urgent, what one's critical I need to get back to, and by the way, I dig into it, and it's everybody leaves their contact information maybe at the end.
Right.
Well, using tools like phonetag.com is a killer resource. Google has also released this through their, basically through Google Talk. You can get a phone number, all of this. And what they'll do is they'll take your voicemail and convert it to text, send it to you either as an email or a text message.
Cool.
And the beauty behind this is, So the beauty behind this is that you can quickly identify something, if it's hot, you need to get on it right now or not, without thumbing through all these audio messages.
I love that. Love that. Love that.
Yeah.
So bottom line, I mean, I always tell people, I'm just curious if you agree what you'd add, and I love that you added PhoneTag, and if you have others you can add, we can post them also with our recording up on our laurelradio.com is where everyone's going to be reviewing, or over at iTunes. And so if you have other technologies, but the ones that I always, you know, talk about is you've got to get your web page, you've got to get your e-shopping, right, your e-marketing system, and then you've got to have your bookkeeping system and a sales system. I mean, these are kind of core marketing, sales, accounting systems that most people have no idea. And I think, I mean, especially lately, we've been spending so many hours helping people just get the basics of technology up and running and set. It's amazing. I mean, aren't you finding, I would think that your company could just like be killing it by just helping people integrate and use those technologies. I mean, don't you find that's their biggest challenge?
Yeah, I do. And it's the biggest mindset to overcome for people is to understand that there's easier ways to do this, that you don't have to be really the, the master of many or the jack of all trades or the master of none.
Yep.
Is that you don't have to be that. You can actually go ahead and extend people on your team to be able to pick up the areas of weakness, and you can staff your strengths to be able to do that.
I would agree. What step is next for people who really want to leverage their time, systems, and money more effectively? So you have a website, delegatewhatyouhatetodo.com. I love that, by the way. Delegatewhatyouhatetodo.com. What else would you want people to do to get started? What would you tell them to do right now if they're listening?
I would encourage them, I do have a limited amount of opportunities throughout the month for a free 30-minute consultation. I'd like to invite those that are listening to the call to, that if you'd like to get for more information or be able to kind of dig through maybe some mind blocks that you might be having to take your business to the next level, is take advantage of that 30-minute opportunity with me, and I can help walk you through that and show you maybe some next steps that would benefit you and your business.
I love that. So again, they can contact you at delegatewhatyouhatetodo.com to schedule that time?
Correct.
Okay.
Or they can actually call 800-482-5339. Again, okay. That's 800-482-5339.
All right. So, Todd, thanks for being on. Great tips, great advice, great content, and so critical. If you're really going to make money, this is the stuff you give up. Let Todd and his company take care of it, and the rest of you stay making money. So, Todd, thanks for being on Laurel Langmire's show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on the call.
All right. Again, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Laurel Langmire Show. You can always email laurelradio@liveoutloud.com. Or you can visit us at liveoutloud.com, and we are all over the country. We are helping you make money, and then we use resources like Todd to help you keep it, put it in your pocket, and spend time. Because the time that you need to be doing as the entrepreneur, you need to be marketing. You need to be telling people specifically and clearly what it is you do. You need to be selling. You need to be reviewing financial reports that have been given to you by someone that has handled all of the input for you. And then you need to be doing some fulfillment. The rest of the tasks need to go away. So, and that isn't just the Laurel model. It's every successful entrepreneur that I know doesn't handle a lot of these details. The less you do in those categories, the more you're going to make money. Stay on the front side of your company, marketing and selling. Take some of the marketing tips from earlier and get people shopping with you more as well. Stay tuned for more next week when we're on the Laurel Langmire Show. And happy 4th of July to those of you that's coming around the corner. And always when around the 4th of July time, I want to put up a challenge to you, and I put it up every year, which is to review your Freedom Day goals. What are your goals? So you may say, well, I just want more money. Well, more is not a number. A lot's not a number. Really, how much more money do you want? And between now, July 1st, and the end of this year, what are you going to be excited to say you made? So use my fast cash formula of 12-4-5. So let's just say you want to make $48,000 by the end of the year, right? That is $2,000 a month. So you're going to divide by 12 months, which we're only at a half a year now. So it's $2,000 a month. Divide that by 4 weeks. That's $500. You're at $100 a day. What can you do for $100 a day to make an extra? Oh, actually, you'd be making $24,000 by the end of the year. If you made $200 a day, you'd make $48,000. It's time for you to make more money. Get very focused. What are you doing? And by the way, if you've not narrowed this down for your children, they should all be out of school now. I think we have the school that was the latest release of their children. But Logan, my son, who's going to be on one of our radio shows coming up, is going to talk about the things he's doing to make money this summer. And his goal is $500 a month. He's got it all narrowed down. He's got 5 things he's going to do, and he's going to put more money in his pocket. So parents, make sure that you spend that time with your kids and get them up to speed in what they're doing this summer. So it's a perfect time for you to regroup as we head into Financial Independence Day and Freedom Day. It's time for you to do it with your children. Again, you can always listen to this show if you've joined us and it's late and you have not heard it all. Go over to iTunes.com, go to LaurelRadio.com, and review the show. If you love it, pass it on through social media. We're on Facebook and Twitter and a lot of other sites, but those are our primary 2 very active sites. We'll be posting the shows and links to the show out there as well. Have a stunning day. Happy holiday. We'll be back shortly on the Laurel Langmire Show.